In the long, hot days of summer, it's difficult to think way ahead to Christmas. But you can eliminate at least one major source of anxiety during the holidays with just a little planning and execution right now. We're talking about money, of course. Christmas is indeed stressful enough without the worry of overspending or, worse, going into debt. Kingdom Advisors President Rob West has five great ways to put the happy back in your holidays. Then it's your calls on anything financial at 800-525-7000. 800-525-7000. I'm Steve Moore, preparing for Christmas in July. Next on MoneyWise Live. Okay, Rob, with the air conditioning working overtime here in Georgia and lots of other places, too, I have to admit Christmas is really one of the last things on my mind today, but we really should start thinking about it, right?
Well, that's right. And actually, January is a better time to start thinking about next Christmas. But if you don't start planning for it then there's no better time than right now.
All right. We're still in July, and you've got us into January here, Armin. All right. Well, we've talked about preparing for holiday shopping before on this program, but today you have some new ideas to help us even in July. So where do we start?
I sure do, Steve. In the past, we've talked about how important it is to develop a Christmas budget well in advance. And in fact, we have one on our website that you can avail yourself of. But let's start there today again. The best way to do that is to first determine how much you can spend on presents, decorations, and entertaining without going into debt. Your goal is to make this a plastic-free Christmas. Help with that, let's go back to that spending plan I mentioned. You'll find it at MoneyWiseLive.org. It enables you to itemize your spending, naming each gift recipient, how you plan to spend, in addition to all your other expenses, which are often forgotten, especially in July, like your Christmas tree, greeting cards, wrapping supplies, and more. Just click on the Resources tab when you get to our website, MoneyWiseLive.org. We also strongly recommend that you make Christmas its own category in your regular monthly budget. That way, you'll get into the habit of saving something every month leading up to Christmas.
Okay. And that's really the key to taking the stress out of at least portions of Christmas, knowing that you have the cash you need going in. Okay, what's next?
Well, this next one is especially important because if you're starting in July, you've got to play catch up with your savings. Of course, you can make that a lot easier by cutting back on some expenses now to free up money for Christmas spending later. So as long as you have your monthly budget out, go over it to see where you might be able to trim. You'll have to exercise delayed gratification, giving up things you want now for things you'll want at Christmas.
Okay. I like how you worked the word trim in there.
See that?
The tree and the, the stuff around. Yeah, okay. Yeah,
absolutely.
All right.
You catch everything, Steve Moore.
Well, I'm hoping I don't catch everything. So far, I've been pretty healthy, but I'm wearing my Christmas mask.
Nicely done.
As our production crew today, Judy has on a very svelte-looking black mask, and she's never looked better. Well, I don't mean she looks better with a mat.
Oh, I'm getting into trouble here.
Wow. All right. Okay.
Let me go on to step three.
Take advantage
of credit card rewards and cash back benefits from shopping apps. If you use a credit card to get rewards, and we'll assume you pay off the balance every month if you do, hint, hint, set those rewards aside for Christmas spending. I do that with rewards I get through the health insurance plan we have here at the office, and I use them to buy Amazon gift cards. Those result in presents. Any number of shopping apps give you cash back or gift cards for free if you purchase items through them. Just make sure those purchases are within your budget. All right, I'm going to give you a list here. Get ready. Perhaps get your pencil out. Rakuten, Honey, Retail Me Not, Ibotta, that's Ibotta, and Shopkick. By the way, I'll tell you where you can get these after the program. Those are just some of the apps that pay you to shop through them. Granted, it's not a lot of money, but it's free money, and every little bit helps. And again, we'll have links to all of those apps in today's show notes. Just go to MoneyWiseLive.org.
What language are you speaking? Rakuten? Ibotta? And what are these sites you're sending
these
us to here?
Yeah, languages, URL. URLs, yes, on the web.
Okay, a little bit of time left. What's next?
Well, let me give you one more. This idea is to start shopping for Christmas now, with almost 6 months to go before Christmas. There's a lot of time to do research and find the best prices for gifts and the items you need to purchase. Also, tax-free weekends are starting in just a few weeks as we head back to school. You could use those tax-free weekends to buy Christmas presents, too. Every one you buy in August is one less you have to scramble for in December.
And this is MoneyWise.
Money and life run on the same track, but unfortunately, sometimes it seems like your money is heading in a different direction from your goals. In Never Enough, Three Keys to Financial Contentment, author Ron Blue helps you to break down all your financial options to a basic four, and then shows you how to keep it all chugging along in the right direction on the same track. Never Enough, Three Keys to Financial Contentment, available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
If you need investing guidance, you probably want help that's grounded in God's Word. That's the approach taken by Sound Mind Investing. Since 1990, SMI has helped tens of thousands of Christians acquire wisdom and confidence in their investing. Regardless of your investing experience or how much you have to invest, you can learn to be a good and faithful steward in the area of investing. More information about SMI and its approach to financial wisdom for living well is available online at soundmindinvesting.org.
It's the Sunday morning service. We're approaching the crucial halfway point. One person in the congregation is just holding on. Let's take a look inside his subconscious.
Captain, we just can't take any more. His memory banks are completely worn out. Attention span is shot. I can only give you half impulse power.
But Scotty, we need more power. The sermon lasts for another 20 minutes.
I'm sorry, Captain. I'm doing all I can just to maintain his life support systems.
Is the Bible too much for your memory banks? God wants you to understand His Word. That's why He wrote it down. The Bible contains the key to eternal life. So spend time in God's Word, and then tell others about the only way, the truth, and the life, Jesus Christ.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
You know, God has a specific plan for each of us when it comes to our jobs, our careers, the way we approach life, our standard of living, and our job, partly is our job, is to help you find that, and we'd love to do it today, consulting God's Word for our wisdom. So give us a call if you'd like to chat about anything financial, 800-525-7000, 800-525-7000. Today, for just a minute, we're talking about Christmas in July, preparing for that, which is still 6 months away. And Rob, any further thoughts for us?
Well, let me just recap here quickly, Steve. We had five of them, and you know, I think these really can be helpful as you think about preparing for that plastic-free Christmas come December. And, you know, I think it's really critical as you begin to think about your spending plan for you to have one specifically for Christmas. And that was our first idea, is go ahead to our website, moneywiselive.org, and go ahead and download that and put that in place right now. The second one was to go ahead and start putting something aside every month. By the way, Tony on our Facebook page, she said she saves something every month toward Christmas gifts, and that's exactly what we're talking about there, Tony. Step three was take advantage of cash back or credit card rewards that you build up during the year and use those for your Christmas shopping. The next one was to go ahead and start buying some of the gifts. You've got more time to do research, find good deals, and you can start putting some things aside that you won't have to buy next December. Now, the last one is protect your savings. Put all of the money you manage to save for Christmas someplace other than your checking account. Here's right. the idea. Most banks and credit unions will let you set up a separate savings account for Christmas. Take advantage of it, because if you leave those funds in your checking account, they're likely to disappear before Christmas even gets here. But if you move it to an account that you label Christmas, and by the way, no need to pay any maintenance fees on those. Just find an online bank that'll let you do it for free. That money will be nice and safe, so when you need it, it's there and you can spend it.
I like it. Great suggestions today from Rob West. And again, if we can help you as you think through Christmas or anything else financial in your life, give us a call. Lots of lines available at 800-525-7000. Let's go to Jacksonville, Florida. Hello, Nick. Thanks for calling in, sir. You're number one today. How can we help?
Hey, guys. Thank you for having me.
Sure.
I was calling because recently, a month or two ago, my wife filed for unemployment because she wasn't working due to the COVID-19. And she, a month, probably 2 weeks after that, she started working. And we didn't receive unemployment or the benefits. And then as she started working, we started receiving some of the benefits. But now that she's working, it's been about a month since she's been working, and we're still receiving some of those unemployment benefits. And I was wondering, people are saying that, you know, they exempt some of that penalties for the benefits, and we are kind of feeling kind of weird about it, if we should cash it in yes. or just leave it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, procedures vary by state, Nick, on this, so you'll need to check with the appropriate agency where you live there in Florida. The Department of Economic Opportunity there in Florida, one of our team members here, Jim Henry, went out and looked real quick as we saw your question coming. They say hold on to the money for now if you're overpaid unemployment benefits. That agency is swamped, likely due to the coronavirus. So it's going to be difficult for you to get someone on the phone. But if the state finds that the money is an overpayment, the unemployment office will most certainly send for it in the form of what's called a notice of determination, and it'll include instructions for return of that money. If that doesn't happen in time, it's possible you'll receive an incorrect 1099-G, which is where those benefits appear, and then you would need to contact the Department of Economic Opportunity there in Florida and ask them to send a corrected 1099 to the IRS. You may have to do that in writing, and you would include the correct amount you were eligible to receive. If the problem isn't corrected by the tax filing deadline next year, you'll need to include an explanation on your federal tax return and attach documentation to show what you actually received, and then use that figure on your return and include it in your adjusted gross income. But by the time the IRS contacts you, if they contact you, you'll probably have a corrected 1099 from the state, which should resolve the matter, because the IRS will also get that form when it goes out. Keep in mind, there are probably thousands of other people having the same issue. So I would just hang on to the money. If it is, in fact, an overpayment, you will likely need to return the money, and they'll tell you how to do that. So I'd go ahead and cash it, but keep it in a separate account so you're ready to handle that when the appropriate time comes.
Nick, we hope that helps you. Great question. Thank you very much. Let's continue on to Kokomo, Indiana. Hello, Bill. What's your question for Rob West?
Well, hey, good afternoon. It's a comment, not a question, and as a follow-on to your Christmas advice. at our home, my wife maintains, in an upstairs room, she maintains a large gift closet. And through the year, for Christmas, but also for birthdays and such, she will purchase different things that she knows the kids and the grandkids would enjoy. Almost always the word clearance is involved, okay? And, you know, those items get put away, and then as Christmas comes around, we go into the closet and divvy it up, and the expenditure at that time is minimal at best, you know, the kind of rounding things out. But through the year, she wisely buys all those things. They go in the closet, and then they're ready.
Yeah. So, Bill, I love this because you're doing a couple of things. You're planning throughout the year. Your wife is obviously frugal. She's a great shopper, it sounds like, looking for great deals throughout the year and accumulating things she knows the kids will like. Have the kids ever come across the closet, or do they know where it is and they've just agreed they're going to stay out? How does that work?
They know where it is, and, you know, okay. I mean, our children are very well grown. The grandkids are in their 20s on down. So, okay.
And
if they look, they'll forget, right?
So. Yeah. Well, we just had a simple rule. It's like you can go hunting for the Christmas presents, but here's the deal. If you find any of them, they immediately get sent back. And, well, that just curbed all of the hunting and searching around the house as soon as they knew.
You know, I'm not worried so much about the grandchildren. I'm worried about Bill and his upcoming birthday. If he has the wherewithal to keep himself from looking in that closet, but that's between him and God, I suppose.
Right.
And Bill, we're glad that you called in today. We wish you the best. Thank you very much. One more quick one out to Helena, Montana. Christopher, what's on your mind?
Well, with all this little hiccup in the economy and stuff, you know, the big one's going to be coming. I believe in, you know, praying, prepping, and not panicking. What about gold, silver, and or gemstones for a financial hedge and or, you know, at the time, bartering?
Yes. Well, similar to its sister metal, gold, you know, the precious metal silver has been seen as a safety net, a safe haven asset that can protect investors in times of uncertainty. And you could certainly lump what we're experiencing now into one of those times. But here's what I would say to that, Christopher. You know, I wouldn't go beyond a normal allocation to that. So you could have it as a store of value, a hedge against inflation and a falling dollar, or a major disruption like we're experiencing now, a prolonged downturn in the stock market, any of those. The precious metals will do well, but I wouldn't have more than 5%, maybe 10% of your portfolio in those precious metals. And I, you know, just for the average person, I would say better not to take physical possession, just because you've got then perhaps a dealer markup. You've got to store them safely. You've got to, when you sell them, figure out, you know, who to sell them through. And they're going to take a cut off of that. And, you know, I prefer just to have that allocation to the precious metals through an exchange of traded fund that would be a tracking ETF to the price of the underlying metal. So you get the moves of the metal, but you don't have to take physical possession of it. Silver prices are roughly flat this year, but they are outperforming the S&P 500. You know, the silver-backed ETFs that I mentioned are seeing both increased volume and assets under management for these reasons, because people flee to this type of investment. So you can take the physical possession. I just, again, for the average investor, wouldn't do that. And, you know, I'm not sure what you mean by the big one, and I have some ideas, and we don't need to get into that now. But, you know, I just, even though we are increasing our debt in a significant way here in this country, and I think for good reason, at least right now, because of what's going on, I don't think we should have been building it, our debt, for the last 10 years. But I also am not expecting any kind of collapse. I mean, we still have a strong economy, a strong consumer. We will recover from this pandemic. I think the Fed has acted very well, and there's a lot of money on the sidelines, record money market balances right now, ready to go back into the stock market. So we've got some challenges to deal with down the road, including getting this debt situation moving in the other direction. But I wouldn't be saying it's a time to go into any kind of bunker mentality. Just make sure our trust is in the Lord and make sure you're following his principles and you're being a wise steward of what he's entrusted to you, and leave the rest to him.
Thanks, Christopher. We do appreciate your call. Coming up, Gary in Illinois and Betty in St. Louis, and perhaps your call as well, 800-525-7000.
Do you know if you have enough money, enough house? Do you know how much is enough? If not, Ron Blue can help with his book, Master Your Money, a step-by-step plan for experiencing financial contentment. Learn how to save, invest, and give wisely, how to create a long-term financial plan, and how to get out of debt. You'll find it all in Master Your Money by Ron Blue. Available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." Here's Beth Moore with a quick word.
Gospel of Luke, chapter 6. I want to start with you at about 32. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? And it says in verse 34, and if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies. Do good to them and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great and you will be sons of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. All right. If we didn't have some of the understanding that you and I have just discussed today about what may be a distinction of the term sons, we could look at that and think that that's a way to be saved. If we don't have works, we will not be sons of the Most High. And we know better than that, because there's nothing more contrary to the grace of Christ. So something is up. What He's saying there, your reward will be great, but He's also saying there, you will be sons of the Most High because He is kind to the ungrateful and to the wicked. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. He is saying this is how you will resemble your parent. If you want to show your daughtership, you will never resemble your father more than when you love somebody who just frankly does not like you.
Beth and the team are thankful for the grace gift to serve you. Your letters, prayers, and support are a vital part of this program. To request this month's thank you gift, text the word GIFT to 57682. Again, text GIFT to 57682 or go to bethmoore.org/donate. And thanks for listening to A Quick Word with Beth Moore.
The financial wealth you leave behind could be the best thing that ever happened to your loved ones, or the worst. In Splitting Heirs, giving your money and things to your children without ruining their lives, Ron Blue explains why it's important to make these decisions now, instead of forcing your heirs to do it later. Splitting Heirs will foster a real appreciation for the precious resources that God has entrusted to you. And it's available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
I love this verse from the book of Philippians, Philippians 4, 4 through 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And certainly, if all of us need something today, it's the peace of God, and we can depend upon Him and His Word. Our phone number again is 800-525-7000. If you'd like to chat about something financial today with your host, Rob West. Fort Lauderdale. Hi, Miriam. What's going on in your life?
Hi, how are you today?
Great, thanks.
Great. Okay, so I was with a company for a little over 11 years, and I just recently left the company, and I closed out my 401k, and I have the money sitting in my account now. And I don't know what to do with it. I was thinking to open an IRA. Like, I don't know what's the best route to go and how, like, what do I do?
Yeah. Miriam, did you receive that in the form of a check that you deposited into, like, a checking account or something?
It was direct deposited.
And it wasn't deposited into an IRA. It was deposited into what type of account?
Into my personal checking account.
Okay. And how long ago did that happen?
Not like a week ago. This is okay. Like all new. Yeah.
Okay. And how much did you receive the proceeds of that?
A little over 9,000.
Okay. All right. And you don't have plans to use it. You just wanted to keep it invested. Is that right?
Right.
Okay. I think the key here is we don't want to take a distribution, which is taxable. So you need, there's a 60-day rollover rule that allows you to get money into an account that is a like-titled account, or in this case, go from a 401k to an IRA. If it stays outside of a retirement account for more than 60 days, that's going to be considered a distribution. And that means that if you're under 59 and a half, you're going to pay a 10% penalty. And then all of that $9,000 is going to be taxable to you. And so you'll have to add it to your taxable income for the 2020 tax year. But because you have this 60-day time frame where you, when you take a distribution to get it back into the account or to complete the rollover in your case, you still have time to get that into an IRA and it not be considered a distribution. And so what I would do is move quickly to open that IRA. I'd probably do that at Vanguard or Charles Schwab, or if you'd want to do kind of a more online type app driven solution, you could look at Betterment. One of those, Wealthfront, would be another. And then you'll want to make that deposit in there and keep that paperwork to be able to show that that came from an IRA and that you got that in within the 60-day period. At that point, then you'll want to pick a good mix of investments, probably using ETFs that are index funds, tracking the broad market, and get it invested according to your age and risk tolerance, and just let that grow. And if you don't have another retirement plan at your new place of business, then you could certainly continue to contribute to that IRA. If you do have a matched 401k or 403b, I'd start with that first and take full advantage of that. Does that make sense, though?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, most of it.
Okay. I think that, let me just summarize, and then if we need to talk further, we can get you connected to somebody who can help. The bottom line is we've got to get this money into an IRA within 60 days of you receiving that money. And so you want to go open an IRA at Charles Schwab or Vanguard, and then you want to send this money, the exact amount you received, to deposit it. And then they have some pretty simple question-based tutorials that'll help you set up your investment strategy that fits your needs. And that'll be the next place you'll want to go.
Miriam, we're glad that this is the first place you chose to go today, and I hope that information helps you as you move forward. Lots of time to do the correct thing in this case. Thanks very much. You're listening to MoneyWise Live with Rob West. I'm Steve Moore, and we'll be back with more right after this.
How should we as Christians think about investing? What if we could invest our money in a way that aligns with what we believe? At Eventide, we believe it is possible to love God and love our neighbor in the very practice of investing. We design investments for performance and a better world so you can invest for the future with a sense of wholeness and purpose. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at investeventide.com.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to show love for one another by sharing each other's health costs. Through CHM's voluntary health cost sharing programs, members uplift each other spiritually and financially. CHM is an eligible option under the Affordable Care Act and a Better Business Bureau accredited charity. Interested? Learn more by calling 800-791-6225 or online at chministries.org.
The Moody Radio verse of the week is found in Revelation 5, 9. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation." That's Revelation 5, 9. The Moody Radio verse of the week.
I was known for just hustling, getting over, getting by.
That was Ronald Clay's life in prison. One day in hopelessness, he cried out for God's grace.
God delivered me from hell. When I got saved, I had a heart to want to do and work for the kingdom.
Moody Radio was there for Ronald in prison. Today, he attends Moody Theological Seminary, preparing for ministry. Read his story in this month's free e-newsletter, Uplift. Go to mymoodyradio.org. MyMoodyRadio.org.
Many people adopt an attitude toward marriage and finances that it'll all work out somehow, but sadly, it often doesn't. Financial woes can devastate a marriage, but there is a better way. God's Way. Money and Marriage God's Way by Howard Dayton will help you discover God's approach to growing your finances, strengthening your relationship with your mate, and cultivating godly joy. Money and Marriage God's Way is available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. Florida is reporting a new single-day high mark of 156 coronavirus deaths. The state continues to experience a swift rise in cases. Officials in the hard-hit Miami area weighing another blanket lockdown. Arkansas Governor Asa Hutchinson has issued an order requiring people to wear masks in public throughout the state, which is dealing with a surge in cases. The Republican governor issued the order today after weeks of resisting such a requirement. The U.S., Canada, and Mexico have agreed to keep their shared borders closed to non-essential traffic until at least late August. That's because of COVID-19. Wall Street finishing lower after mixed reports on the economy highlighted its uncertain path. The Dow lost 135 points today. The NASDAQ was off 76. The S&P 500 down 11. This is SRN News.
Hey, who are those guys talking about Christmas in July? Well, we'll stop it because as much as we think it might be helpful, we know that a few of you may be gnashing your teeth. Come on, guys, Christmas in July, but it's going to be here 5 months, Rob, right? And you haven't asked me my sizes yet. They may have changed from last year. So.
Right, because of COVID, yeah.
Right.
It's just what happens.
Yeah, and they haven't gone down, I'll put it
no,
that way.
No, that's right.
All right, Chattanooga, Tennessee. Wendell, thanks so much for holding, my friend. What's on your mind?
Thank you. Thank you for taking my call.
Happy
I'm be 62 in a week or two and looking at possibly retiring. And I've got about $2.5 million in a lump sum pension and a 401k. And I've talked to some money managers in town, and I'm having heartburn, thinking they're going to want $30,000 to $40,000 a year to manage it for me. But I wasn't confident that I can do it myself.
Yeah.
So, what do you recommend?
Well, you know, Wendell, I understand what you're saying here, and it's hard when you begin to do the math and realize, you know, how much you would be or could be paying in terms of a management fee. I would expect with that size portfolio, you to be paying more like 1%, which would be $25,000 a year. Now, I realize that's still a significant amount of money, but here's the way I would look at it. You know, you spent your entire life amassing this wealth to be able to create an income and provide for yourself in retirement. Whatever the Lord has for you, and do some giving and traveling, whatever you're planning to do. And, you know, you having a professional to come alongside you and really help to guide the investment strategy so you're not taking unnecessary risk, that you're generating the return you'd like to achieve, that you've got the amount of cash you need available to weather a downturn in the market, to make sure that there's a portion of this that it has a growth component to it so that, you know, it can outpace whatever you're pulling out of it to supplement your income. I mean, having all of those pieces in place and somebody, you know, making sure that it's tax efficient and all of those issues, you know, that's worth what you would be paying. And so I think the key is to really find an investment professional that really aligns with your values, that really, you know, understands what God has for you in this season, what you're trying to accomplish and what you're not trying to accomplish, and that this person also understands the counsel of Scripture and really the role that you have as steward in managing these funds. But, you know, thinking about paying 1% or a bit more to someone for that purpose is hard, and yet I think very, very prudent and wise. We certainly see in God's word that, you know, there's wisdom in great counsel. And so I think from that perspective, I would sleep well at night knowing that you've availed yourself of that. So I would be completely supportive and in favor of you headed in that direction. Does that make sense, though?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Do you have somebody in mind,
right,
or will you just be starting to look for someone as you venture out here?
I've talked to a couple of folks already.
Okay.
And looked online for some, and I want to keep it local. That's probably not necessary in this age, but I'd kind of like to keep it local.
Yeah. Well, here's a couple of things I would say. Number one is I would interview at least a couple of certified Kingdom advisors there in Chattanooga. There's some wonderful ones. You can find them when you go to moneywiselive.org and click on Find a CKA. Just put in your zip code. This is going to be somebody who not only has significant experience, has met regulatory and character requirements, but also has been really trained to be a specialist in biblically wise financial advice. And so I would start there. Number two, you always want to make sure you understand very clearly how they get paid. Number three, I would want somebody who's curious about you. I don't want them spending that whole first meeting trying to sell you something. I want them getting to know you and asking you lots and lots of questions. And, of course, you want to make sure they have the experience and that there's just a great alignment in how they're going to approach the management of these resources. And then lastly, I think it's really important, Wendell, that you clearly define on the front end your expectations with regard to not only the frequency of the communication that you'll have, but the method. Are you expecting a phone call in a certain interval? Is it okay to do it through Zoom online? Do you want to meet in person? How often? What is their expectation? And is this account going to be handed off to somebody else, or is the person you're meeting with actually going to be the one that will be handling it? All of those things, I think, are really important to find a good values match as you make this selection.
Great suggestions, Rob. Thank you very much. And Wendell, thank you very much for your call today. Off to Grand Rapids, Michigan. Gladys, you have an investment question for us as well, huh?
Yes, I do. My portfolio is about $500,000. And of that, there's $200,000 that is in investments and stocks. And then $300,000 is just at Ameritrade, and it's just sitting there. And I'm just wondering if there's anything out there that's better, or if this is normal. I pay 1% of $500,000 to the financial handler.
Okay. Let me ask you this, Gladys. And while I'm asking you this question, if you don't mind just kind of turning around and turning the radio down because of the delay, we're hearing everything twice. Is that your choice that you have $300,000 in cash, or is that the advisor's choice?
The advisor's choice.
Okay. And have you had a meeting recently just to talk about the strategy that's being employed here? I mean, obviously, we're in a turbulent market, and you're not working, so this is retirement income, and so I would expect to have, and you know, as much as a year's worth of cash. But is it truly just in cash, or is it in short-term bonds or CDs, things like that? What do you know about that $300,000?
No, it's just in cash.
Okay. And have you all talked about what the plan is for that particular portion of the portfolio moving forward?
There is no plan. But to continue this way.
Okay.
And
all right.
I do own my condo, but I have a $40,000 mortgage, and I wanted to take the money out of there, $40,000, and pay off the condo.
Well, I like that plan a lot. Yeah. I mean, that makes a lot of sense to me, especially since you've got a mortgage. And if that money is, in fact, just sitting in a cash account, there's no reason why you shouldn't just go ahead and eliminate that mortgage. I'm going to suggest you visit with perhaps go back to this financial professional and say, can you tell me the strategy? What is the plan behind where we're headed with this roughly $500,000? And, you know, why am I paying 1% for this money to sit in cash? And is that where you plan to keep it? But at the same time, you may want to consider getting a second or third opinion. We've got some wonderful CKAs there in Grand Rapids. You could connect with one at moneywiselive.org. Just click Find a CKA. I think the key is, no matter who you choose, whether you stay right there, and I'm not saying anybody's doing anything wrong, but I think what I'm concerned about is the fact that you don't know what the plan is, or you perhaps there is not one with regard to how this money is going to be managed moving forward. And you need to know that. You're the steward. This is God's money. He's entrusted it to you. And so there needs to be a plan that's well thought out, that makes sense. that's consistent with what you're paying each year in fees, and that there's great thought being given to how this money is being managed for you, for your benefit, and for God's glory, for it to grow and be protected, but also so you can use it for giving and meeting your needs well into the future. So I'd start with this advisor, but perhaps get a second or a third opinion. And let me just say, you know, we've heard from a couple of folks that God has blessed with an abundance. We also hear from a lot of folks on this program that don't have very much at all and are really struggling. And, you know, for each of us, we just need to be found faithful with what God has entrusted to us, hold it with an open hand, and be very quick to share and be generous with what we have.
Yeah, well said, Rob. Thanks for those encouraging words. We'll be back with more right around the corner.
Do you know if you have enough? Enough money? Enough house? Do you know how much is enough? If not, Ron Blue can help with his book, Master Your Money, a step-by-step plan for experiencing financial contentment. Learn how to save, invest, and give wisely, how to create a long-term financial plan, and how to get out of debt. You'll find it all in Master Your Money by Ron Blue, available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Hi, I'm Barry McGuire. I'm a car guy here to help you understand the urgency and how fun it is to share your faith at every opportunity. Sharing your faith is not just living a good life. Being good doesn't get you or anyone else to heaven, but it does open the door for people to listen to you when you insert God into your conversations. That's when they begin to understand that you're a good person because you're a Christian, and maybe they should be a Christian. Now that's sharing your faith powerfully and almost effortlessly. On IgniteAmerica.com, we have hot topic articles that teach you how to insert God into normal conversations without raising eyebrows. And that's where the fun begins. Finding ways to insert God into conversations as a normal part of those conversations. Again, it's like sport. Find the right spot and take your shot. And then let it be. You've just sown seeds. Now give them time to grow. There's nothing more exciting than knowing God just used you to lead somebody to Him. Join us at IgniteAmerica.com.
By now, most churches have canceled their Sunday services. People are retreating into their homes, and other than the long lines in the supermarkets, the streets are quiet. How are you handling it all, Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond from ChristianityWorks.com. Call me crazy, but while everyone else is retreating into a shell of self-interest and self-protection, I think that you and I have a huge opportunity. What the world needs right now is for God's people to stand up, to step out with a quiet, calm confidence and share the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Because let me tell you, when the people you know see the confidence you have, the assurance that you have, the peace that you have in your heart, they're going to want to know where that comes from. So while the rest of the world is panicking, be Christ to them. Love them. Encourage them. Lead them. Tell them about this Jesus who died and rose again for them.
God cares a great deal more about our money than most of us imagine. In fact, Jesus says more about our use of money and possessions than about anything else, including both heaven and hell. In Managing God's Money, author Randy Alcorn breaks it all down in a simple, easy-to-follow format that makes it the perfect reference tool if you're interested in gaining a solid biblical understanding of money, possessions, and eternity. Managing God's Money is available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Hey, we're thrilled to have you out there today. Thanks so much for listening. Thanks to those of you who have called in. Let's continue on with that aspect. Canton, Georgia. Hi, Beth. How can we help you?
Hi.
Hi.
I did my taxes and mailed them in like I always do every year with a return receipt. Mm-hmm. And I got my Georgia back in May. And I mailed this all April the 26th. But I never got my return receipt from the Fed. And so I went back to the post office, and they traced it and said it was delivered 2 days later. It wasn't signed. It just had a number, but they printed it out for me. And I haven't got my refund back, and it's July already. So what should I do, and what should I expect?
Yeah, you know, refunds are taking longer, Beth, as a result of COVID-19. So what we're seeing is that You know, because most of the IRS employees were sent home to work, they, of course, weren't provided with the equipment, computers, et cetera, to do much. So the mail-in returns are just sitting in the office waiting to be processed when the workers return. Now, I'm not exactly sure. It could be that some of them are partially reopened or fully reopened. But the bottom line is because of the time they were away, refunds are taking longer. The processing of those returns is certainly taking longer. So I would just count this as a year that things are going to be a little bit different. Certainly, we've all come to realize that. I think the fact that you have gotten that signature confirmation, you know that they have it. You've handled your part, and that refund will be coming. It's just that because it was a paper return, it's going to take longer. And because of COVID-19, it's going to add to that even more. So you'll get it. It's coming your way, but you may just have to be patient for a bit longer.
Okay. Is that acceptable, Beth?
Well, no, but I can use it for my Christmas gift. You know.
There you go. Absolutely.
It may
I like
be Christmas
that.
Before I get it, huh?
That's yeah. I don't know that it'll be that long, but perhaps you'll have forgotten about it by then, and it'll be a welcome blessing coming in the mail.
Yeah, well, just think about, you know, the fun of expectation, you know, whether it's Christmas or birthday or, you know, it's always fun. You know, the internet has these videos. People post these videos, Rob, these unpackaging videos. Yeah. And it's just the expectation of seeing what's there. And one could spend hours watching people unwrap things.
Oh, yeah.
Not me, but
no.
I'm told.
Right. Sure.
Hey, thank Beth, you. God bless you. Thanks. Thanks so much. Youngstown, Ohio. Hi, Amy. What's on your mind?
Hi. I had an HSA question. My husband and I were 57 and 58, worked at two different places. He started his HSA a year ago. We're changing plans, and I was going to go to an HSA. I didn't know if I'm confused now. If they take it as a family, should we do our each individually? Could we be secondary on the others? And how much can we put away total or individually?
Yes, it's a great question that you're asking here, Amy. So in the case of married individuals, each spouse who is an eligible individual who wants to have an HSA must have a separate HSA. You can't have a joint HSA, even if you're covered by the same high deductible health plan. However, distributions can be used to cover the qualified expenses of the other spouse or other family member. So that would be considered more of a family HSA, where there's one owner, one person making the contributions, perhaps as a salary deferral or something else, but then the distributions being made for the benefit of the entire family, as the qualified medical expenses are incurred. But where the restriction from the IRS comes in is when we're dealing with two workers not being able to deposit money into the same account. So if that's what you're talking about, then you would have to have two separate HSAs accounts, one in each of your names, and then you'd have to decide which one you want to have the family coverage and which one, you know, would just be for the individual. But the bottom line is the allowable contribution for the year per family is up to, I think this year, $7,100, and that would be between the two accounts. And then between the two of them, you would use them to cover all of the family's qualified medical expenses. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah.
And it could be, too, even, Amy, that the family can take money out of either. It's just that each spouse can only contribute to one, that I'm certain of. So I like HSAs a lot. They can be very effective if they're used properly, and the money can stay in there, and you can keep it to use down the road, even for retirement. So I would absolutely look into it.
Thanks, Amy. The Chicagoland area. Hi, Tracy. How can we help you?
Yes, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to say really quickly, first, thank you all so much for what you do. I've been listening for years, even when you had the former host, and I've learned so much. So it's such a blessing. I really appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you. That's very kind of you. I appreciate it.
Thank you. So two quick questions. My husband and I, we invest in deferred comp at our job, and I wanted to know, I know that they choose the investments themselves, like we don't, you know, specify, say Vanguard, et cetera, but I know that it's Vanguard and Charles Schwab are options there. What's the difference between that and, say, investing in S&P or doing e-trading or something of that nature?
Yes.
That's my first question.
Yes. Well, a deferred comp can have any number of investment choices in it, and often they will run the range of something like an S&P 500 index to others that have stocks and bonds, or maybe just a bond fund. It may even have other options that are more specifically tailored to certain sectors of the market or investment strategies. So you just have to look at what's available to you inside the deferred comp so you can pick the investment solution that is more consistent with what you're looking for. The S&P 500 is just the 500 of the largest companies here in the United States across a number of different sectors of the economy. And it's generally seen when people talk about the market, sometimes they're talking about the Dow Jones, which is 30 stocks. More often they're talking about a broader index like the S&P 500. And so what you probably have inside the deferred comp is something similar to that, if not exactly that. But I think anytime we're talking about a deferred comp plan or a 401k where there's a limited universe of investment options, you need to get familiar with the investment options available to you inside your plan, because they will vary from plan to plan. So if you've not been given that overview or detailed description of what you have to choose from, I'd go back to your HR department or whoever handles these types of plans and ask them to connect you with somebody with the plan administrator who can give you an overview of the investment solutions you have available to you so you can pick something that's consistent with your goals and objectives and really helps you move in the direction you're trying to go. It's a great question, though, and if after you have that conversation you have other questions, don't hesitate to give us a call.
Tracy, we appreciate that very much. Thank you very much for calling in today. And Rob, speaking of calling in, not everyone calls in. Sometimes people send us an email. The address for that, if you have a brief email for Rob, is questions@moneywise.org. Here's one that we just got today from Ruth in Dallas. She says, I'm an authorized user on our credit card accounts, but I'm the co-owner listed on two mortgages we have. If my husband were to pass away, would my credit score or be bolstered by the mortgage payment history, or is it only based on credit card payment history?
Yeah, it's a good question, Ruth. Bottom line is, if you are a co-owner on that mortgage, meaning the mortgage is in both your name and your husband's name, then that credit file is being reported to your credit report, at least one of them, perhaps all three of the credit bureaus. And so regardless of whether your husband is living or he passes away, you are receiving the information with regard to the status of your payments. Are you an on-time payer? And whether that's on time each month, that is being reported to your credit file, irrespective of him. With regard to the authorized user on the credit card accounts, in some cases that's reported to your credit report, and in other cases it is not. So you would need to call the credit card company and ask them whether or not, as an authorized user, it's being reported to your credit file in addition to his or his only, just so you know. Now, one other point here with regard to this question, because you're asking about what happens following your husband's death. Just so you know, if this is the only credit card account you have and you're just the authorized user and there's not any in your name solely, because we don't typically see joint credit cards, although they do exist, then you need to understand that if something were to happen to your husband, that account would be closed and you wouldn't have access to it anymore. So you probably need to have a card in your name or find one of the companies that offers a joint credit card. But at the very least, that would give you the ability to continue charging if something were to happen to your husband at that point.
And we appreciate that, Ruth, and we hope you were there to hear it. And again, if you have a brief question for Rob, just a couple of lines, feel free to send it along. We get to those just as quickly as we can. Questions@moneywise.org, questions@moneywise.org. And one of our previous callers, I think it was Tracy from the Chicago area, mentioned the previous host of this radio program. That would have been one Howard Dayton from Compass Ministries. And interestingly, Howard will be joining us on tomorrow's program, and we always look forward to that.
We always look forward to that, and we may need to get an update on exactly how many push-ups he's doing on his four-mile morning walk. Last report, Steve, was that it's north of 500 a day.
Yeah. Now, we should point out that Howard, and we love this guy, and he
just likes us.
Howard is past 70. Let's leave it there. But he does 100 push-ups in the driveway. Then he walks a mile. He stops. He does another 100. Then he walks a mile. Ultimately, he walks 4.2 miles every day and does a total of 500 push-ups.
That's unbelievable.
That's what he says. It is unbelievable. It's incredible. And I think we need to see video. And with that, we're out of time. MoneyWise Live is a partnership between Moody Radio and MoneyWise Media. Thanks so much for listening and for your financial help that keeps us on the air. Have a great remainder of your day. Join us again tomorrow.